Take your Bible, if you would, the book of Luke. Do you have the book of Luke chapter 6? And if you do, let's stand together. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. We've been in this portion of Scripture now for 2 or 3 weeks. And we did what was the Beatitudes last week, but now we get to the woes. But beginning at verse 19 of Luke chapter 6. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, that being Jesus, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when ye shall, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and to be here this day. Lord, we thank you for the songs that were sung. We thank you for the opportunity to give. And Lord, now we thank you for the opportunity to look into your holy word. May we be blessed and encouraged to do right. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Title of our message today is Hard Words. Remember that it's Jesus that is talking here. We're just repeating what was said. Something of interest I've been studying, of course, as we go along through these different portions of Scripture. And it was mentioned that in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. And some would, and maybe I have even in the past, taught that this was also just another narrative of the same time and event. But if you ponder the thought that in Matthew 5 through 7, it's the Sermon on the Mount, where here we find in verse 17 that they were in a plain or a flat area. And most likely meaning that it was two different places and two different messages, but a common theme, a God-led life or a materialistic-driven life. And like I said, we find hard words. Hard being difficult sometimes to understand or to accept. They're complicated. Where he talks about blessed are the poor and those that are rich are going to be emptied because of the fact that they have what is really all they need right now in their own eyes. Stormy thoughts are irrefutable. And Jesus is talking and we must listen. Now we read through the woes, yet in the remainder of the chapter we find that he calls us to love our enemies. Now, those are hard words. We find that we are warned not to be judgmental. Most of us do a good job at judging other people. He concludes chapter 6 with a reminder that a good man's heart produces good things. So if your heart is right, you'll produce good things. If your heart isn't right, you have a tendency to be bitter, to gripe, to complain, and to produce bad things. A wise man will put Jesus' words into practice. making them the foundation on which he builds his life. It reminds us of the parable of the two that built their houses, one on the firm foundation of the rock and one on the sand, and its fall was great. But here at verse 24, let's begin. Woe unto you. No, excuse me, verse 24, I read the wrong part. But woe unto you that are rich. Explanation point. There are not a lot of explanation points in the Bible, but here we find one right in the middle of this sentence. Woe. When Jesus used the word woe, it would remind us of sorrow, agony, pain. It's a warning. Now, I must admit, I don't remember ever really watching Lost in Space, but I do remember the robot. And doesn't he look awful funny today compared to what they can do? But there was always warnings to who? Will Robinson. Yeah, warning, warning. Well, there is a warning here. And may I say that warning is money. May I say this, that money is a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing and a curse. Notice what it says, but woe unto you that are rich. We live in a materialistic society. We want and we want and we want and we want. Commercials are telling us you deserve it. If you can't afford it, put it on your credit card. And because of that, we've become a nation in debt. And I'm not just talking about our national debt. I'm talking about personal debt. Some would say we've become arrogant. We believe we are better than others. We believe that we are entitled to certain things. The other day I heard that fast food workers were wanting to go out on strike because they want $15 per hour. Can you imagine how much the dollar meal at McDonald's will be if they start earning $15 an hour? But we have become a nation of entitlement. We have a right to cable TV. How many of you remember when when television only had five stations and it was black and white? Yes. And yet today we think we must have either cable or satellite because we're entitled to it. It's our right. Is it our right? No. We have people who believe they're entitled to cell phones. I have my right, and you can't tell me I can't have a cell phone, and I need all the bells and whistles. Let me tell you something. You spend your tithe on your cell phone, God will get his sooner or later. I'm glad that three or four of you agree with me. But if you take your tithe and you buy cable TV and you buy your cell phones, don't think God's going to bless you. He's not going to bless you. You have yours. You have your consolation. You took his money, and you've got what it's got you, your cell phone and your cable TV. Now, is it wrong to have a cell phone or cable TV? No, it's not wrong. Do you believe we should have right priorities? Yes, we should have right priorities. But when we take God's money and we buy things for ourselves, do not expect God to bless you. Do not expect God to answer your prayers when you decided on your own. You're going to take his money, his tithe, and you take and put it on your cell phone or on your cable TV. Do you think God cares if you watch ESPN? Do you think God cares if you've got Cinemax or Showtime or HBO? Do you think he cares if you've got the Disney Channel? He doesn't care the snap of his finger. And yet, what do we have today? We have people who feel they're entitled to these things. Notice what he says, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. There'll be no reward in heaven for you because you took his money. And some of you will just tip God. You'll say, well, I'll give you an offering, but you don't really give your tithe. I've heard some people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. May I say this, I can't afford not to tithe. I can't afford not to give God what is His. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world. Now, I'd rather be rich in the next world. How about you? Thank you, three. See, some of you are thinking, well, I want it in both worlds. You may not get it in both. You may, but charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Why is it that if people have money, they have a tendency to think they're better than you? A number of years ago, when my wife was still doing wedding cakes, we took one down here to one of the halls off Jefferson on the lake, and it was for the upper class. And we took the cake in, and we weren't dressed with holes in our pants or dirty looking, but those people there looked down their nose at us like we were second class citizens, like we didn't even deserve to walk on the same floor they did. You know what really made them mad? When I just looked at them and smiled. I didn't say anything to them. I mean, after all, Don had gotten paid to do the wedding cake and we had delivered it, and you can ask her later about it and she'll tell you the same thing. They looked at us as if they were better than us. Why? Because they had some money. Folks, if God has blessed you with money, don't let it go to your head. Be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. That same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11a, for the love of money is what? The root of all evil. Now, is it money that's the root of all evil? It is not. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Luke chapter 6, 24 says, you have received your consolation. You've got your comfort and your relief and your solace. Be satisfied with it, because there's nothing for you beyond this. 25a says, woe unto you that are full, exclamation point, for ye shall hunger. Woe again, look out, here comes the second attack for those who put their trust in material things. What are they full with? They have what I call spiritual gout. They are not filled with the right things, but they are filled with the wrong things. Revelation 3:17a talks about the church at Laodicea, thus the members of the church at Laodicea, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of what? Nothing. We don't need anything. We don't even need God. Remember, God is knocking at the door of the church of Laodicea wanting to come in. We have so many people in our world, in our country, they don't need God. They've got money. They don't need anything else. But their money won't get them into heaven. They have need of nothing. But notice it says here, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Ye shall hunger. Revelation 3:17b says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We have this prosperity gospel that people talk about. You plus God equal money. Why do you think God has a street of gold in heaven? To show us the value of money, that all it's worth is road repair. Gold. There's the name it, claim it, people. But may I say this, you plus God doesn't equal money. If you know Christ as your Savior, it means eternal life with Him. And what a blessing that is. Verse 25b, woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Go ahead. Laugh now. You've got your money and you're full and you think you have everything. Go ahead and laugh at those who are willing to give to the cause of Christ. Go ahead and laugh at those who make a stand for the Lord. Rudy was telling me something that Desmond Tutu said the other day. If God is against homosexuality, I'd rather go to the other place. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That man ought to be careful. That man ought to worry. That shouldn't even be joked about. But yet there are those who laugh at those who make a stand. We need to make a stand. Evolutionists who can't defend their position yet mock and laugh at Bible believers as if we're ignorant bumpkins. I guarantee you, 2 seconds after they're dead, they know they've made the wrong choice. It says they will mourn and weep. They'll mourn and weep all through eternity, begging God for a second chance. A fourth woe found in verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Boy, here it comes again. You've got your eyes on the wrong people. May I say this? It is better to be belittled by society and be right with God than to be thought special in the eyes of society and be against God. Woe. 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 Pay attention. This is important. Where's your mind today? Now, if those words weren't hard enough, let's begin at verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Whoa. Love your enemies. I'm going to say this. Some of you have a hard time loving your mate. And the Lord says, love your enemies. That means love those Buckeyes down in Ohio. I'm just teasing. Love your enemies. Some of you have a hard time loving your parents. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Some of you have a hard time loving your kids. Some of you have a hard time loving your relatives. Some of you have a hard time loving your pastor. Oh, I'm your enemy, huh? Well, you know, even if I am your enemy, you're still supposed to what? No. You're still supposed to love me. Yes. Love your enemies. Yet some of you have a hard time loving that person on the other side of the aisle. Love your enemies. Notice it continues. But I say unto you, that would cheer, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. How many of you hold a grudge? Your next door neighbor cut his grass and he blew the side out onto your lawn and didn't rake it up. They had a party the other day and they had fireworks that went off 2 minutes past curfew. That sounds good. You know, we have a hard time with those that hate us. And yet Jesus says, do good to them that hate you. Can I ask you a question? Did Jesus do this? You know, he loved his enemies. They were going to crucify him. Even Judas was a traitor, and yet he loved Judas. He said from the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Some have a hard time doing good to their mates, let alone those that hate them. Did you catch what I said? Some of you have a hard time with your mate. You're at battle with your mate, trying to be in control all the time. And I get to say this, sometimes, young couples especially, there is a power play going on. And they're going to say, I'm going to show you who's boss. And yet the Lord tells us to love our enemies and to do good to them that hate you. And you struggle with doing good to your mate. You struggle with doing good to those people that are your friends. You struggle with those people who are in the house of God. Yet Jesus said to love them. Did I tell you these were hard words? These are very hard words, folks. Do you think it's why Jesus, when he died, there weren't a whole lot of disciples, a whole lot of followers? Because his words were hard. They were hard. Verse 28, bless them that curse you. Wow. That person driving down the road doesn't like what you do, and they lay on the horn and give you that one finger salute. It's awful hard to love them, isn't it? You wish you had a tank or a 1954 Buick, 1954 heavy thing, and you just like to ram them right off the road. Boy, it's hard. That guy at work that curses you every day when you get there, it's hard. It's hard to bless them. Maybe you have a relative that knows of your faith in Christ, and every time you see him, they mock you. They laugh at you. Notice what it says here. And pray for them which despitefully use you. None of us wants to be used. We don't mind helping out someone. Pastor Stephen, as you know, is moving from the apartments across the street to a home over here on Erdman, and he would like to use you. Saturday? What time? 12? 12 o'clock, if you could help him move. The more you help him move, the less I have to. Okay. That's this Saturday. I'm sure that Lauren would appreciate it too. Yes. What do we have? We hate being used. And yet the Bible tells us to bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. Now, folks, if those aren't hard enough words, let's continue in verse 29. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Jesus willingly was smitten. Jesus was willingly going to the cross. And they misused him. Now you go back in time, and it became known, hey, those Christians say if you hit me on the left side, go ahead and hit me on the right side. Do you think there were people that did those things? Yes. They'd go up and slap them and say, well, give me the other side. Now, someone has said, well, I'll let you have the other side, but then you had better watch out. No, Jesus doesn't say that after they've hit both sides, then it's your turn. Smack down the cheek. Let's continue reading there in verse 29. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Wow. Boy, if they ask for one thing, let them take the other. Now, Jesus is talking. Please don't take it out on me. But notice what he says. If he smites you on one cheek, offer the other. If he taketh away your cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat. Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Difficult words. Oh, did I say we live in a materialistic world? Yes, we do. I admit that I have to be careful about that. We must put priorities in our things in the right priority. We struggle. Verse 31, what some would call the golden rule. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. We like it when people are good to us, but sometimes it's awful hard to be good to others. especially to those who are nasty, especially to those who are unappreciative, especially to those who are taking advantage of the system. But to be honest, if everybody followed the Word of God, people wouldn't be taking advantage of the system, would they? If everybody was following the Word of God, we would be kind one to another. It would be what people did. May I say this to you? It's what Jesus did. Jesus knew of our needs and he wanted to provide them. So what is our greatest need? Our greatest need is eternal life. And so what was Jesus willing to do for us? He was willing to die for us. He gave himself for us because he knew we could do nothing on our own behalf. He knew we needed these things. And we have smitten him, and we have taken from him, and we have talked down about him. And yet he still loves us. Yet he still cares for us. And yet he offers to us our greatest need, salvation. Shall we stand together? If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, may I encourage you to do so even today. Be willing to admit the fact that you have a need and that that need can only be taken care of through Christ. And if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, may I encourage you to follow him faithfully, using him as your guide, not following after the riches of this world, but after Jesus Christ. The riches of this world oftentimes will turn our eyes off God, even as Brother Paul read this morning about the people of Israel, that once you got into the land and things were going well, you would say, this is what we have done. But may I say this, all our blessings come through Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And Lord, help us to turn our hearts to you and to follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.